Epilogue. It is customary for an academic book to acknowledge somewhere the professional organizations and affiliations that underlie the final version. But in this particular book, many of the ideas come from the classroom. For a number of years, I taught Bishop in a seminar called simply How to Read a Poem. Readings ranged from Sir Thomas Wyatt to the present day and were amplified by the regular series of poetry readings offered at the UCLA Hammer Museum in Los Angeles. In conjunction with a medley of disparate poems sampled across the centuries each week, we also read continuously from the works of two poets. Year after year, Elizabeth Bishop was always one of the two poets. As all lists do, this one reflected the instructor's preferences. And although readings changed over time, the goal of the class remained largely the same: to have students discover how to speak and write about what the eye sees and the ear hears when a poem on a page is put before them. A simple request. Although it had a new critical aspect to it, the poem was the central focus of discussion, it ruled in many of the thoughts that new criticism, in its stricter form, ruled out. But the task was also not an easy one. In part, this is because the phenomenon of the visual today has overtaken and absorbed the attention of so many, whether young or old. Congruent with this seminar was a graduate class taught by a distinguished musicologist who felt a similar need to teach notation. But it is also owing to how knowledge is often thematically or historically organized in universities, where texts in the humanities assume a place in a hierarchy of approaches often established by the social sciences. And, of course, it is because talking about those black marks on the page is, and always has been, an unnatural task, an acquired art. It requires considerable learning and practice. The aim of the course was to have students resist seeing through the poem in their desire to replicate a version of their own assumed reality, however arrived at, and to do so by attending to the grammatical signs on the page that educated them in how to read the work at hand. One kind of resistance met with another, which is where the excitement is, and learning begins. And here, too, is where Bishop comes in. She was the star of the seminar, always, and not simply because students like to read about fish in the poem of that title. Many didn't know anything about fishing, and still don't, but a number now do know how to read a poem about a fish because Bishop is so good at taking you through the steps. First step, look closely. Second step, look closer still. Third step, look even more closely. But especially now, with an eye to where the poem is going, not to where you think it should be going, but where its diction, syntax, grammar, and punctuation lead. This means listening to the poem, bringing the ear out of hiding in order to help the eye to see and the mind to think. Bishop's poems are always about surfaces getting deeper, about knowledge as process. She lets the fish go at the end of the poem. Does it matter? Not as much as the getting there. There is a technical language for expressing this experience, this journey, some of which I use in this book, but not all discourses find their way equally into this study. They never do. Does Bishop age well? Better than most. But we're all bound by our histories and by history. The past can flow into but never be the present. Why read Bishop? Because she brings out the inner poet in all of us. Why do we feel this way? Because we do. That's what reading a poem about a moose does. It makes us feel that we're all there as part of the poem's creative energy at the moment of its arriving. This concludes Elizabeth Bishop by Jonathan F.S. Post, narrated by Stephen Bowlby. Copyright 2022 by Jonathan F.S. Post. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Oxford University Press and was produced in the year 2022 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.